Taking you back to absolute truth in the blinding snowstorm of relativism. This is Generations.
Folks, welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. The reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. My daughter Emily is in studio with me today. And we homeschool our children out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. And we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview. And through the eyes of fathers. I mean, no experts, no psychiatrists, no lawyers, no politicos here in the studio here. Just a couple of dads are concerned about the world in which we're raising our children. And just trying to take it in and establish a vision for our children and our grandchildren, with the hopes that one day our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren maybe, would be able to make some progress for the sake of the kingdom of God and maybe salvage things like faith, family, and freedom. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that faith, family, and freedom is dying in Europe. It is dying in America. And we're just trying to salvage it. Salvage a little bit for our children and our grandchildren. We're hoping that a few other people care about faith, family, and freedom, that actually like these values and want to salvage them. And so, you know, we want to look at culture, we want to look at worldview, we want to look at relationships and the issues that are most important to our lives, and we want to do so from a biblical perspective. Well, let's get back into culture, Dave. We know we've talked about movies in the past, and Prince Caspian is the second Narnia tale that's made it to the big silver screen, and it looks to me like it's doing pretty well. It's doing better than The Golden Compass, and we all like that.
The what?
The Golden Compass. Remember the atheist flick that came out? The one where, you know, you're all cosmic dust made out of nothing and there's no purpose for life. There is no God. God's an old guy and he just died. And so, you know, you're on your own in the world and there's no reason for living. There's no ultimate teleology, et cetera, et cetera. So you can't possibly live happily ever after because happiness can't be defined in a non-ethical world.
Yeah, but the Golden Compass flopped so bad, people are already trying to expunge it from their memory.
Yeah,
it's bad memory.
Yeah, it was a bad memory. It lost money like crazy. Well, and the good news is that you have Christians who write books and their stories about, you know, about God and about the fact that we are made in the image of God and that there is something called eternity and there are real issues and there are real battles to be fought and there's real issues of righteousness, good and evil, and so forth. These battles are being waged. And there are some good stories out there, including the Narnia Tales. So we've got some good stories written by C.S. Lewis in the Narnia Tales. And yet when we come to the movie screen, we have men producing these movies, and they're departing from the original scripts or original stories provided by guys like C.S. Lewis. And that, to me, is a concern. Prince Caspian was nowhere near the kind of movie that The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was. I had some problems with The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe as well. You can listen to some of our previous Narnia broadcasts to find out what we thought about the first tale. But the second got even worse. Dave, I have a couple of things, a couple of examples of where we have some radical departures and really a radical violation of the original stories provided by C.S. Lewis in the recent movie that just came out, what, 2 weeks ago. And the first problem I have, Dave, is the Susan Caspian thing. All right, Susan being one of the players here, one of the two girls in the Narnia tale, and she has a relationship with Caspian. But this is a really shocking deal because there is no love interest developing throughout the movie between Susan and Caspian. It's really all that detectable. There really isn't any, you know, development of a relationship whatsoever. But at the end of the movie, Dave, right and out of the blue, they just kiss each other. Just out of the blue, they're exchanging bodily fluids. And, you know, I mean, number one, that violates the story. Big time, because, you know, every little kid that read the story of Prince Caspian did not see a love interest develop between Susan and Caspian. And here they are without any courtship whatsoever throughout the movie. There's no courtship developing at all, no relationship developing whatsoever, just a fornicating moment, just a quick thrill right there at the end of the movie. I mean, let's just call it what it is, Dave. When you got a couple of little kids, teeny bopping kids, where there's no relationship developing, no courtship, no idea that they're going to be married, the prince and the princess will live happily ever after, none of that, okay, Dave? Just a lustful, fornicating moment, and there you have, you know, 5 million little kids, or 28 million Christian kids, sitting there in movie theaters across America, watching this lustful, fornicating moment. You know what? I think they're getting the wrong message. I mean, I think it advocates your typical loosey-goosey fornicating relationship that typifies the modern teen, right? I mean, isn't this what little kids are doing at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old? They're out behind the schoolhouse doing the little kissy-kiss thing, you know, getting the little lust monster started up. Cranked up there, and Dave, I think this kind of thing is being sold by Hollywood or now, by Disney.
By Disney, I haven't seen the movie, so I have to say that first off. But what you describe sounds like those who are going along with the culture, but it's a little bit more nefarious because this slides in a child's film, one that ostensibly has a Christian theme, and now we're going to take and offend all these young boys and girls and saying, you know what? You're children. That's all right. Kissing's fine.
It's okay to have a little fun out behind the schoolhouse, all right? Get the little lust thing going. Let's get the little fornicating thing going. I mean, we're not going to go all the way here, okay? It's not going to be a full-fledged fornication here. It's just going to be fornication light, and it's all okay. You know, light it up, let it roll.
Well, I think Peter says it really well. In 2 Peter, he says, having eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practice and are accursed children. Yeah. You know, this is somebody who's really asking God for the millstone treatment. That's teaching one of the little ones to disobey even the least commandments of God.
Now, I know there are going to be people out there saying, Dave, Kevin, you guys are blowing this thing way out of proportion. It's just a kiss, okay? It's just a kiss. Folks, it's not in the story, all right? C.S. Lewis doesn't put it in the story. And remember, stories have a unity to them. It's a thread that if you wind up deviating in a important, significant way, if you add some kind of significant love interest, I would say a love interest is significant. And yet, even in the way it was done, Dave, it's just added on. There is no developing relationship. You understand, Dave? This is not a courtship. This is just a quick thrill at the end of the movie. Just a little bit of a lustful experience here.
And there was no repentance. There was no sorrow. There was no conviction of sin.
No. Just something added on that didn't belong in the story, and there it was, for the sake of every little kid out there. All right, now, secondly, here's another part of the story. And this comes from a New Zealand Herald. Let me just quote. This is apparently New Zealand's really hot on this movie because Andrew Adamson is a New Zealander who produced or directed the film. All right. And here's the story. Let me just read a few paragraphs from it. It's one New Zealand director, Andrew Adamson, felt he needed to update Prince Caspian for a modern female audience. Adamson arose to fame directing his two Shrek films, said making a movie of Lewis's second book was harder than the first. This time around, he decided to depart from the books a little by presenting the Pevensey girls, the Susan and Lucy, as strong female role models. Quote, I had a problem with the first book, because this is one area where my ideologies really did differ from C.S. Lewis, said Adamson, who has two daughters. I had a big problem with Father Christmas giving Susan the bow and arrow and saying, I don't intend for you to use them. I was kind of like, all she does in the first book is make sandwiches. In that case, give her a plate and a knife. You know, it's totally disempowering for women. Unlike the book, Adamson's film sees Susan and Lucy fighting alongside the boys rather than waiting behind, keeping the home fires burning, particularly after creating Fiona in Shrek, who is a strong female character. There is no way I was going to set a role model for my girls that was like, you go and do the dishes, honey, he said. It's just not the way I'm going to make films. And Dave, before we take the break, I mean, you know, his goal here is to present stronger female role models, which means, again, a very narrow definition of the word strong. All right? All right? Let's be very clear with what he's saying here, folks. In a time where strength is very important on the battlefield, here's what he's saying. If a woman is not as physically strong as a man, she's a second-class citizen. Dave, let's just say this is what the feminazis are saying. This is what this Adamson's saying. This is what just about every other public school, this is what the media says. If a woman cannot compete with a man on every level in every area, she's worthless. She's worthless. And, Dave, and yet, they're so inconsistent on this. Because you look at pro sports, you look at Olympics, you ever see women competing with men? I mean, maybe in some dinky no-account high school out there, you've got a woman, a little girl on a team of boys wrestling or something. Okay, there's a few high schools out there that are trying to do this kind of thing. But you get into pro sports, you get into Olympics, the women are not competing on the same basis with men, my friends. Why? Because it's obvious they're going to get killed. Women are not made physically strong as men. God didn't intend for that to happen. And yet, Dave, Why are millions of people taught every day by the media and the schools if a woman is not as physically strong as a man, if she can't compete on the same basis in every single area as a man, she's a second-class citizen? What are they doing? What are they trying to do? Are they trying to frustrate women here? Are they trying to make them bitter and angry and try to compete as best as they can and then eventually lose and then spend the rest of their life bitter and angry because they can't compete on the same basis with men? Again, folks, what we're saying is that God has created men and women differently. Let's just get back to what the Word of God says. God says, I have created a woman to be a complement, a helpmeet for the man. All right, I didn't create her exactly like the man. I created her to be a helpmeet for the man. I mean, Dave, what do we have to do? We have to just explain that men and women look different. Their bodies are different. Men cannot bear children. Women cannot be as physically strong as men. They're different. Is that okay? Can't we live with that? They're different. They're created differently. And yes, they are given different roles. It is the Marxist way of looking at things to say if a woman does not fulfill the exact role in the economic workforce or in the military, if she doesn't function exactly like a man, she is inferior to the man. That's Marxism. And again, we disagree with Marxism here. We're not Marxists on this radio program. We're biblical Christians, and we go to God's Word, and we find that God created men and women different with different roles. All right? It's a no-brainer. Nature presents it. It's obvious. It's just that we happen to have a worldview that explains it exactly the way nature presents it. And the other, the egalitarian Marxist approach, does nothing but frustrate, anger, and embitter women. And it's effectively, Dave, the roots of the feminazi movement. And I don't think this guy Adamson is any different than the average feminazi out there. I mean, he's presenting Prince Caspian in that light. He's bought into that worldview hook, line, and sinker. And I'm guessing there are a lot of Christians that have bought into this worldview, too. At least judging from all the letters we get when we do programs like this.
Yeah, we do get the hate mail when we start to say there are some differences between men and women.
Yeah, we do. We do. And, of course, the president of Harvard lost his job for that, you know, just a year or two ago, right?
He came out and said, I think there might be different. I've been in the birth room. I saw my daughter. I saw my son. They're different. I saw it. They're different, okay? Boys and girls, different. And he got in trouble, lost his job for that.
Well, I think not only are they different, the movie like Prince Caspian concerns me a great deal because there are those who would take something that seems a little innocent, pollute it just a little bit, and then sneak that polluted or poisoned film or idea into a mass audience. You see, the way you poison rats, let's go back to basics here, you don't put out a whole bunch of poison just out there. What you do is you put in something that's very tasty to the rat and just a little bit of poison. So the 90% of the rat poison is good for the rat, actually, and it's that 10% that destroys them. I concern myself that these films are taking the same approach. They're going to go run and tell the Jesus stories and polluted. They're going to go tell the C.S. Lewis stories. And while they're doing it, they're corrupting your children. They're leading them to a life of fornication. They're not creating an antithesis. They're making a detente with it.
And what is Adamson saying with his Prince Caspian movie, my friends? He wants stronger female role models. He wants to empower women. Why or how? He wants to do it by making them really good fighters. And again, Dave, I think another assumption here is greatness is only defined here as those who get the most power and kill the most people. See, that's the way he's defining greatness. This is how you get to be great. You're only going to be great if you get into the military and you kill as many people as you can possibly kill, or if you can just get as much political power as you can possibly get. That defines greatness in the kingdom of men. And, Dave, that has existed since Cain and Nimrod and Herod. The guys who killed, the guys who gained power for themselves, the guys who built empires throughout the history of the world are always the ones who the city of man calls great. But unfortunately, folks, when it comes to the Word of God, greatness is not defined in the kingdom of God as the guy who kills the most people. It's the greatest servant of all. It's the husband who serves by sacrifice and love. It's the wife who serves by sacrifice and submission. And I know it's hard to realize that that's what establishes your greatness in the kingdom of God. It's the one with the most humility. It's the most meek people who are the greatest in the kingdom of God. That's the way we define these things.
And, folks, when we get back, we're going to talk about a couple of movies that we might recommend here. We're kind of running down the Prince Caspian movie because it's really a humanistic flick. But in a moment, we're going to talk about a few other movies that we've seen recently that might be worth a watch. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
Fasten your seatbelt. Hang on to your hat. Generations will be right back.
Christian Home Educators of Colorado presents its annual Christian Family Conference June 12th through the 14th at the Denver Merchandise Mart. Speakers include Doug Phillips, Chris Klicka, Dr. Vody Bachum, and Dr. Norm Wakefield. Current and future business owners should attend the entrepreneurial mini-camp on Thursday the 12th. And don't miss the ultimate family concert with the Von Trapp Children and the Colorado Wranglers Friday the 13th. For more information, go to chec.org or call 1-877-842-CHECK.
You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Back on Generations, friends. This is Kevin Swanson talking about movies. And Dave, as we talk about Prince Caspian, had some problems with it. But, you know, I mean, it's a great story. And overall, I really love the way that the evil armies are overcome, primarily by Aslan, who wipes out their little bridge that he spends all their time building, you know. And again, the technologies of men and all of their military might is brought to naught just like that through the sovereignty of God. And that's a powerful message, and I appreciate the way C.S. Lewis put that together.
Well, I think movies like this are salvageable. They may be 10% or 1% poison, but you can use the 90% if you're involved with your children while you're watching it, if you're having a dialogue. And sometimes it's necessary to skip scenes. You know, so on the DVD, you know where the fast-forward button is and when you got to go there.
And I know people are bothered by that sort of thing, by us first of all acknowledging that some of these things are full of sin and evil and deceit and so forth. But, hey, folks, you know, the kinds of things I produce, I'm sure, have sinful, deceitful things in them as well. And you have to apply the Word of God to all these things and walk beside your children and kind of siphon through, spit out the seeds. And as you read the books, as you read the novels, as you watch the movies, as you engage in any form of art or literature, of course, you have to maintain a strong biblical perspective and try to critique them by means of the Word of God. Again, folks, we want to look at a few other movies that have come out recently, say in the last 40 years. Movies that I've seen recently and Dave has seen recently. And one of them that I would recommend would be Oliver Cromwell's movie, just Cromwell, by Richard Harris. Richard Harris starred as Cromwell in the 1970 flick. And would really, I think, recommend this one. Not a totally accurate portrayal of Oliver Cromwell, but good enough. Dave, I also watched To Kill a King, or the first 10 seconds or 5 minutes of it. And it came out in 2003, so we're talking about a movie on Cromwell that just came out 4 years ago. And, you know, again, I could not stand it. It was a totally ridiculous portrayal of Oliver Cromwell. Wasn't even worth 30 seconds in front of that particular movie, To Kill a King. But the Cromwell movie put out in 1970, much, much, much better. I thought it was well done.
It was pretty well done. We start to understand who Oliver Cromwell was, what the issues they were fighting for involved. A time like any civil war, a time when there are lots of confused people around. What are we fighting about? Why are we fighting our own? The same thing could be said for our own civil war. But this gives a little bit of clarity, at least from one point of view, that the Puritan point of view.
Well, it was a very complex issue, as was our civil war. And I know there are a lot of people out there who says Oliver Cromwell did the wrong thing. I mean, he oversaw the beheading of the king. But please understand, I mean, there are very difficult issues at stake here. There was a civil war. Parliament was certainly up against the king, and the king was nefarious in many of his dealings. He had effectively made some partnerships with other countries like Scotland, Ireland, even France, Dave, and was inviting their armies into his own country. Imagine what would happen if the President of the United States called up England or Russia and said, I'd like your armies to come over here and fight my people. I mean, I think we'd all be a little offended by that.
Yeah, if the Mexican army starts marching on Texas, we would be alarmed. Yeah. And yet I think in the movie it portrays something very interesting. That's the king got confused what was England and what was the crown. He thought crown equals England. And we do this so much, too. We think schools equal children, government equals country. And Cromwell understood something different. He said the crown was to serve the people and the crown were different.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cromwell, a wonderful story, an important, I think, character in the history of the world, and probably one of the most godly men, one of the most Christian men that ever served in the capacity of civil magistrate and as a military leader, and probably, Dave, in one of the top 5 to 10 most accomplished military leaders in the history of the world. I mean, a tremendous strategist, tremendous military leader, and also a very, very godly man. And yet, he showed up in a very, very complex time. He fought for religious liberty, and religious liberty did come to England. Not right away, though. Charles II came through and, again, started wiping out tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people throughout England and Scotland. So religious liberty did not come back right away. But, of course, with the glorious revolution of William and Mary, England was blessed with religious liberty. Cromwell being probably one of the very first men who fought for religious liberty, even for the Quakers. I mean, the Quakers were some of the most despised people in England at the time. I mean, they're pretty whacked. You know, people saw him as cultic. And yet he fought for religious liberty, even for folks as far out as the Quakers. So you have a man who lived in a very complex time where there was a great deal of persecution going on, some complex issues, the king being one of the most deceitful, nefarious men who had ever lived. And yet God raised him up for such a time as that, and I think became a very significant player in the history of the world and a very, very godly man. So I'd encourage you to watch the movie Cromwell with Richard Harris, produced in 1970, and also to read some biographies. We've been reading a biography on Oliver Cromwell by D'Abbone, a French historian, a very, very good book called The Protector. And I would recommend you read biographies on this great man of God from previous centuries. Ladies and gentlemen, just encouraging you to read good things and to watch good things and to introduce good materials to your children, hopefully materials that will be edifying and materials that are in accord with a biblical way of looking at things. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations. This is our radio broadcast that we have been airing on this station for 4 years now. And yet we still do not have the support for the program to sustain the program. We've been funding it through other sources. So we're encouraging anybody who enjoys a program that talks about culture, worldview, art, entertainment, etc., from a biblical perspective, if these sorts of things are helpful, if you want a godly way of living and want to apply the Word of God to every area of life, and you find this program helpful, I encourage you to support the program. We have 7 people supporting the program right now. We need 113 more supporters for this program to stay on this radio station. So we encourage you to call right now. If you have been benefited by this program or you think this program should stay on the air, please call right now, 877-842-2432. Again, that's 877-842-2432 if you can be a sponsor of this radio program. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
You have been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com. This book addresses many of the issues close to the heart of this program, the power of relationships, the preeminence of character and faith, and the importance of getting the right worldview in education. Get your copy of Upgrade today on the web at www.kevinswanson.com.